In the gospel of today, we hear two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. And we learn this from them, that they are fishermen, and we learn that they work in unison to make a living. So what we're going to do in this homily of today is we're going to travel back 2,000 years ago, and we're going on a journey with Peter, John, James, and Andrew in their boats, and see what we can learn about fishing 2,000 years ago. And the time frame in which we're going to go is post-resurrection and pre-ascension, because remember, even after the resurrection, the disciples went out fishing. So let's see what we can learn today. Let's get underway. So first of all, as we make our way to the Sea of Galilee, we're in the boat of Peter and Andrew, and we turn to Peter and we ask him this: Peter, what are we fishing for today? Well, if you got into a boat in Minnesota, the answer would be muskies or bass or crappies, bluegill, northern pike, catfish, all types of different varieties of fish. But Peter answers this. He says, we're looking for three species of fish. We're looking for St. Peter's fish, catfish, and carp. And you sit there and you say, St. Peter's fish? Yes. There was actually a species called St. Peter's fish, and it's also known as tilapia. Okay, tilapia. Now, when we think about carp and catfish, very common in many Minnesota lakes yet today. As a matter of fact, catfish you can find in restaurants throughout the United States. However, I want to caution all of us to remember this, that for the Jewish people, catfish was considered unclean. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 9 reads the following: of all the creatures living in the water in the streams, you may eat any that have fins and scales. Well, if I held up a catfish, guess what it would have? Fins. But guess what it wouldn't have? No scales. So it's unclean to the Jewish people. And Peter goes on and he says this: of the fish that we catch, what do? We sort them out, and we sell them either locally or we preserve them by salt, and we send them to Jerusalem or as far as ancient Greece. And just a side note today, this is a true statement. In April 2010, fishing was banned on the Sea of Galilee. This was the first time in 5,000 years fishing had to be closed. The reason? Overfishing and a virus which infected St. Peter's fish. So let's turn our next question to St. Andrew, and let's ask Andrew this question. What can you tell me about your fishing operation? Andrew pipes up and says, our boat is big, 23 feet long, 7 feet wide. It's long and it's big because the Sea of Galilee, also known by the way of Lake of Gennesaret, is long and it's wide. It can be 13 miles long and it's 7 miles wide. The crew is made up of 5 people, 4 people who oar, and 1 who steers and supervises. And the one who steers and supervises also has an eye on the sky, because here at the Sea of Galilee, storms can come up quickly. Remember that in Matthew chapter 8, we heard a story like that. They're fishing on the Sea of Galilee, storm comes up. And what does Jesus have to do? Jesus has to calm the storm. Andrew details how they fish in this boat. He says this: poor fishermen work along the edge of the lake, and they usually have a net about 10 feet wide, 20 feet wide, 10 feet long, 20 feet long, with anchors in various areas. And you see them, they take the net and they throw it. It sinks to the bottom and any fish are caught in it. But he says, our operation is bigger, it's different. We tie our net, one part of the net, to our boat, the other part to James and John's boat, and it's a rather long net, sometimes 100 feet long, from top to bottom, and we drag it along and we trap the fish that way. That's how we trap them. Okay? And remember this, we fish at night because the Sea of Galilee is so clear that they can see the net. And one other thing he says, each of our boats is big. It holds around 1 ton, 2,000 pounds. So it gives you an idea how big their boats were. All right. So with that, got that question answered. We jump into the boat of James and John. And the next question we ask is James. In today's gospel story, we hear that John, your brother, and you are mending nets. Can you explain this? And he says, yes, I can. It's easy. He says, you see, what we do as a dragnet is we drag our net along. And it's all from the top of the water column to the bottom of the water column. And sometimes what happens is that net snags a rock on the bottom. Time to time we have to dive down. And one of us has to loosen the net. But it's other times what happens is we're going along, we're dragging, it catches that net or that rock. And all of a sudden what happens? The net tears to loosen from the rock. We have to mend that. Sometimes our catch is so big, with all those fins and scales, it tears the net. And some fish have very sharp fins. And what does that do? That means we have to, it has very sharp fins. And what does that do? It cuts the net. And so what do we have to do? We have to mend the net. All right. One last question. And this one we turn to John. John, what does a typical day of fishing look like? Here's what he says. Remember earlier, we fish at night. Okay? We tie our net to our boat, one side, the other side to Peter and Andrew. We drag it along. That was mentioned earlier, but sometimes we do this. We actually stop and we splash the water with our oars to chase the fish into the net. And then we drag the net in. And we'll do that 7 to 8 times a night. It's exhausting. And then during the day, what do we have to do? Well, we have to sort the fish, but we also have to wash our net, and we also have to mend our net. And it's important for you people to remember 2,000 years later that because the linen was a poor quality linen, we also had to wash it and dry it or else it would rot quickly. Exhausting, exhausting work. And so with that, we finally get to shore. And it's time for us to ask Peter, Andrew, James, and John a question. Here's the question. Why did you leave everything and follow Jesus? And Peter turns and he says, what do you think? And I give two reasons of why I think. Number one, because fishing was on a downward spiral due to overfishing. Andrew pipes up, not true. For when we abandoned our nets to follow Jesus, it had been our best year of fishing to date. So number two I throw at him is this. You're getting wore out from the day-to-day grind of fishing. John says that can be true. On bad days, you want to give it all up. But when you have a streak where everything falls into place, number of fish caught, value of fish, little mending, and the thought of quitting wanes. As winning heals a lot of wounds, catching fish is the same type of medicine. And so I ask, why did you leave? And Peter responds with this statement. The four of us have talked about this many times. And the one thing that caught our attention wasn't so much that we were going to catch men. Okay, and women. He said this, what caught our attention was these words, follow me. Now, how many of you have ever had someone come up to you and say, follow me and your life will be better, it will be different, and it will be life-changing? And Peter, Andrew, James, and John say, none of us have ever experienced that before, but we not only heard it, we listened to the eyes of Jesus, and we realized what he said he meant. And so we left it all. And you know something? He's right. Life has been different. Difficult at times, better, and it's changed our lives. And so in closing today, I think it's only appropriate that we allow these four giants to share a thought with us. Here it is. Thanks for journeying back 2,000 years and spending time with the four of us. We want to take you ahead in time to your time, the year 2023, and share a story using the cities and images of your day. Here's the story. Some years ago, three businessmen boarded a train and left Milwaukee early on a Friday morning to attend a meeting in Chicago. The meeting went longer than expected, and they had to run to the train depot to catch the last train of the weekend back to Milwaukee. First gentleman accidentally hit a card table where a little boy with a white cane was selling apples. The table tipped over, spilling the bushel basket of apples all over the platform. Second man hesitated a moment but kept running to the train. Third man stopped and got down on his knees and retrieved the apples and as a result missed the train. The little blind boy thanked him profusely and then said, "Are you Jesus? You Jesus?" Such is what the four of us want of you. None of us is Jesus. What we want people to see in you is the face of Jesus Christ. And so the four of us ask this: do people hear in you the voice of Jesus? Do people see in you acts worthy of Jesus? And do people see in your faith community, your church, a church that mirrors Jesus Christ? That is our final thought. And that's a lot to think about, a lot to chew on. And that's what I want us to take with us, those three questions today. Think about them today and in the week ahead. Well, God's blessings and peace to all of you today.